On Sunday, Republican Representative Tony Gonzalez from Texas left CNN host Dana Bash stunned when he revealed some pretty shocking information about some of his Republican co-workers in Congress. Here's what happened. Dana Bash starts off asking him the question, you know, obviously the big thing over the weekend, we had the aid packages passed, Mike Johnson still facing that movement from Marjorie Taylor Greene to be ousted. But here's what Dana Bash asked Congressman Gonzalez. So you voted yes on the foreign aid package. Do you have confidence that at this point, given that it is still possible that Marjorie Taylor Greene will push to vacate to kick Mike Johnson out of the speaker's chair, that he can survive? And Gonzalez first says he will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson's going to be just fine. And it was at that point where I guess something kind of snapped at this Republican congressman's head, and he was angry, right? He's like, ah, don't worry about it. He'll survive. But then he got pissed off at his own Republican colleagues and continued by saying this. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress. But I serve with some real scumbags. Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime. Look, it didn't surprise me that some of these folks voted against aid to Israel, but I was encouraged to see by a nearly 10-1 mark that Republicans supported our allies on the battlefield. And at that point, a very shocked Dana Bash said, wow, okay, I should say that the federal government did look into Matt Gaetz and those allegations, and they decided not to prosecute. Because that's a pretty shocking revelation from Congressman Gonzalez. Again, a Republican saying these things, either horrible things, especially if they are true, but about his own Republican colleagues. And again, we have the House Ethics Committee looking into Matt Gaetz. Yeah, the feds decided not to prosecute, but I don't think it was due to a lack of evidence. It's just very difficult, you know, to prosecute a sitting lawmaker. But the House Ethics Committee is looking into this, and there's no doubt that Mr. Gonzalez has, of course, heard what the Ethics Committee has. You know, Kevin McCarthy came out and said something very similar just a couple days ago. So these are people with inside knowledge of what the Ethics Committee has in terms of evidence. So when they make claims like this, yes, they're doing it pissed off, but they also likely know what they have. So I don't think it's the type of thing we should just take with a grain of salt and write off. We should listen to these people. But more importantly, we should listen to these Republicans when they continuously tell us that their own party sucks. We have had far too many Republicans in just the last few months come out publicly screaming at their own party that they're useless, that they're failures, that they're not doing anything for the American public. Mr. Gonzalez says it's full of scumbags. We got people endorsing neo-Nazis. We got others going to drug-fueled parties. What the hell is going on with the GOP? And we need to listen to them. Because these are the people, whether or not what he's saying about Matt Gaetz is accurate aside, but these are people with inside knowledge of their own party. And when they repeatedly come out into the media and tell us that their party is no good, that their party is not working for us, that their party's barely even functioning, we need to listen to these people because they're trying to warn us ahead of this year's elections. Last week, Donald Trump was super upset about the fact that he didn't have a horde of supporters show up and protest his criminal trial in Manhattan. In fact, on the very first day of the trial last week, last Monday, when everything kicked off, there were only about 50. And as the week went on, that number of 50 just continued to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And then as other protests for other issues erupted across New York, Donald Trump looked around and said, okay, well, it's not for a lack of people, right? There's tons of people over here protesting. There's tons of people over there. And I've got a handful of wackadoos outside my courtroom. This is not acceptable. So on Sunday, Donald Trump got on Truth Social and was reduced to begging his supporters to show up and protest his criminal trial. Here's what he put on Truth Social. Why are Palestinian protesters and even rioters allowed to roam the cities, scream, shout, sit, block traffic, enter buildings, not get permits, and basically do whatever they want, including threatening Supreme Court justices right in front of their homes? And yet people who truly love our country and want to make America great again are not allowed to peacefully protest and are rudely and systematically shut down and ushered off to faraway holding areas, essentially denying them their constitutional rights. America-loving protesters should be allowed to protest at the front steps of the courthouses all over the country, just like it is allowed for those who are destroying our country on the radical left, a two-tiered system of justice. Free speech and assembly has been chilled for USA supporters. Go out and peacefully protest, rally behind MAGA, save our country. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Now, it's true that the protesters who are in favor of Trump have not been allowed to protest on the courthouse steps, okay? It is a state office, okay? You cannot block or impede entry to the office. Like, that's always been a thing. So instead, it's like, hey, you just can't do it on the sidewalk right here. We actually set up a safe area over here where you can do it. Like, they're literally trying to protect the pro-Trump people. They're not putting them far off to the side. It's just like, hey, just move over here a little bit and you can do it. The problem is not where they're located, Donald. The problem is that you just don't have people who want to show up. And let's not forget that last Friday, one of the people who showed up set himself on fire. So, you know, when you've got people doing that, it's kind of hard to get more people to want to come out. You know, I don't think people are going to be lining up to be like, hey, let's see if somebody, you know, sets themselves on fire today. Hey, let's see if somebody jumps in front of a moving car. That's insane. But what's really driving him crazy is not the placement of the protesters. It's the fact that, again, he's looking around New York City. It's like there's other very big protests going on, very publicized protests. And he's got just a handful of some of the weirdest people we've ever seen. And that makes him very sad. He is not happy with his pathetic showing. But it's not because people aren't out there. It's not because people aren't outraged about issues. They're just not outraged about his issue. Oh, you may see it online, all these Trump supporters. This is a travesty. It's an attack on democracy. But those online people ranting and raving to nobody don't really matter, do they? All that matters is who shows up. And right now, Trump's people are not showing up, which is why he now has to beg them to get to New York so that he can at least feel a little bit of love. Marjorie Taylor Greene went on Fox News with host Maria Bartiromo this weekend for what Marjorie, I'm assuming, thought was probably going to be a nice little friendly softball interview. But Maria Bartiromo apparently had other plans. She wanted to know what Marjorie Taylor Greene's plans were if she's successful in ousting Mike Johnson as the Speaker of the House. And unfortunately for her, that is a question that Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been pushing this for weeks now, still couldn't answer. I mean, you've had weeks to come up with a good response to the question, and you still fell flat on your face because even you don't know what you're doing. So here's how it all went down. Maria Bartiromo asked Marjorie Taylor Greene, quote, "You're getting criticized on the left, on the right, in the media. A lot of people are criticizing you." It's always a fun way to start a question, right? Like, hey, everybody hates you. So anyway, and the reason that they are is because they're saying that you're creating drama during this election year. How is this leading to reelecting President Trump? How is this leading to the American people believing that the Republicans can govern? People are saying, look, she's creating chaos. She's making the entire party look like it's disrupted. Your reaction and response to those criticisms. Okay. So she gives her an easy layup, right? Like, hey, people are saying all this stuff about you. What say you? And Marjorie Taylor Greene said, quote, "Those that are calling this drama are the very people that are responsible for the drama that the American people are having to live through every single day. Those on the left, those on the right, the uniparty that's in control of our government are the ones that have inflicted the American people with nearly $35 trillion in debt, ripped our borders wide open." OK, Okay, that's actually not an answer. And Maria Bartiromo understood that. So rather than having her continue, Maria Bartiromo was like, all right, we're going to go to a break. So she gave Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, break is what, 2 to 4 minutes, gives her an opportunity, gather yourself, come back a little more, you know, with an answer to my question, and then we'll go from there. So they come back from break. Bartiromo then says, okay, Congresswoman, you wanted Mike Johnson out. What's your alternative plan? So very specific question. You want him out. So what is your plan? You just had a commercial break to think about it. Don't act like you didn't know this question was coming. These Fox News shows, most of them are typically very scripted in terms of they have the questions written out. And in many cases, they'll actually send the questions to the guest. Sometimes they'll ask the guest to submit their own questions. And I know that years of a producer for Mike Papantonio, who would frequently go on these networks, specifically Fox. Anyway, she responds, our plan is this. We have to give the American people a reason to trust us and fight for us. The American people are supporting President Trump to be the next president of the United States because they've seen him in action. He fought against the Democrat agenda. He put America first. They desperately want him to lead this country again because they trust him and they know he will do that. Mike Johnson has betrayed America. He's betrayed Republican voters. Under his leadership, he's passed the Democrat agenda, passed the Biden administration's policy, and fully funded them. We're going to fight in Congress to do everything we can to stop this type of uniparty leadership. Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated. Bartiromo was not happy with this response because this response didn't actually include an answer to her question. She said, what's your plan? And Green was like, I love Trump and I don't like Johnson. Wonderful for you. Still not an answer. So Bartiromo responds, with all due respect, you didn't give me a plan for the speaker's role. And again, does this mean you're going to file that motion at some point? And Green said, it's coming regardless of what Mike Johnson decides to do. And we have 3 more Republicans joining us for the special elections coming up very soon. So people need to know this can happen. Wow. 3? You got 3 people? Oh my God. I didn't realize that. I mean, Congress is made up of 435 people, but it's like, hey, look at me. I'm going to do this. And you know what? I got 3 people that are going to do it with me. Cool. You still got 430 others that aren't on board. So what's your plan? You never gave Maria a plan. That's all she wanted. She wasn't looking to do a gotcha interview. She was just like, hey, what are you doing? Because you're kind of causing some chaos here. And Green's answer to why are you causing chaos was, I'm going to keep causing chaos. So there you have it, Americans. You want more chaos. Marjorie Taylor Greene's your congressperson. But if you're ready to move on past this and actually put some grown-ups in charge, you know which party to vote for in November. So there was a story that started emerging late last week that I had thought, yeah, maybe I'm going to talk about it. Then I was like, nah, even for me, that's a little lowbrow. I don't want to go there. And that story, of course, was the rumors that Donald Trump is suffering from very serious flatulence in court. He can't stop farting, and it has created a, quote, putrid odor in the courtroom, and his own lawyers are repulsed by the scent and the smell. And that, of course, was first reported by Midas Touch founder Ben Mysalas, which was then later kind of confirmed by George Conway, who reported, I have heard the same things from people inside the courtroom, that Donald Trump is just stinking it up over there in the defense area. Now, again, none of this has actually been confirmed. So we don't know if Donald Trump is suffering from horrific gas. But once we start putting some pieces together, and this is actually why I've decided to finally talk about this story. All this started on Thursday, right? This was actually reported later in the day on Thursday. So did something specifically happen on a Thursday that could have given Donald Trump horrific gas? Actually, yes. because it was finally reported over the weekend that Donald Trump's lawyer, or not his lawyers, but members of his team, Thursday afternoon when they broke for lunch, their team sends three dudes over to McDonald's right down the street where they spend roughly $700 on McDonald's food to bring back to the courtroom for Donald Trump and his legal team and all their staffers. I mean, I don't know how big their team is, but spending $700 at McDonald's for lunch for your people, yeah, that's going to give you some gas. And here's what it is. They're said to have placed an order at the counter on Thursday, which included 27 quarter pounders, 27 portions of fries, Filet-O-Fish burgers, and chicken nuggets. I love it. It's like that I think you should leave sketch. Like, 55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 pizzas, 55 pies. So 27 quarter pounders and 27 portions of fries, bunch of Filet-O-Fishes, some chicken nuggets. Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a very protein and grease heavy meal. And, you know, after digestion begins, it's going to cause a lot of gas. So when you put the two stories together, right, you know, they fit like pieces of a puzzle. Like, does Donald Trump have horrific gas in court? Well, look at his $700 McDonald's lunch that day. And I think it becomes very plausible, not saying it's confirmed, but very plausible that Donald Trump did probably have a little bit of gas for the next day or so. It gets even funnier. Here's what the McDonald's workers told reporters at Daily Mail. It's not the first time we saw them. They came last year when he was in court. He has a lot of problems. So it's like every time Trump goes to court, he's like, oh boy, there's a McDonald's around the corner. And the workers are just like, man, he's got a lot of legal problems. I assume that's what they mean when they say he's got a lot of problems. I mean, maybe they're referring to the amount of food that he's ordering. Like, wow, is he okay? Do we need to check on him? Like, that's definitely not good for you. But I also have to say this, just as an aside, obviously, not obviously, I don't know why I said that. My first job was at a McDonald's, worked there for 2 years, starting at age 15 to age 17. It was a great job. I loved it. I still actually keep in touch with the friends I worked with at that job. And I will tell you, if somebody had walked in without like calling ahead, because we didn't have it really, you know, mobile apps back in the day didn't exist. If they just straight up ordered at the counter all that food, that would have sent the staffers into a frenzy because you don't have that on hand. So like, it's very rude of them to not give the restaurant some kind of heads up that they're coming in with this massive $700 order. So that just annoys me on a personal level because it shows their disregard. Like, they think so little of these people that they don't think, oh, it doesn't matter if we inconvenience them, you know, screw them. Like, that's crappy. It's also kind of crappy that they didn't leave a tip after springing this on them at the last minute of the counter, but it's just a weird story. It's a weird series of developments. And that is probably the most accurate thing I could say, not just about this lunch and the gas, but about how the entire trial has taken place so far. Thanks for listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.